Hey, Dave.
Hey, Andy. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm fine. Wow, this is a good connection.
We got a good pipe at work. Oh man, but I've got my that lag thing where my voice is in my ear about half a second after I speak.
You want to use the telephone?
I did. The original intent was to record this so that the interview would be itself a podcast companion to the article.
I can certainly record my end. Well, I wonder if I can. I don't know. You know, it's recording Skype conversations is fraught with problems.
I know.
I could record my ends. It's I've been doing so much of it. It's not funny to me anymore.
Oh,
I mean, yeah, I could. I have another laptop here, and I could bring that over here and record it. Even if we were using the telephone, I wouldn't get your end though.
Nah, you know what? I'll make do. If I sound a little drunk, that's why.
All right, that's fine.
Basically, I just wanted to sort of get the record straight since I'm writing this article for Tidbits. Wanted to consult my list. I know there's been a lot of misrepresentation about the origins of podcasting and who's responsible for what, and I wanted to sort of get, you know, tell me, in your words, where it all came from and how it all started.
Well, I don't actually think that there has been a lot of misrepresentation. It's just that, nobody's looked into it. And so I don't know that there have been, you know, cases where people have said so-and-so did this and they didn't do it. So it's just more or less that nobody's really looked into it. So, I welcome that. Where to begin? I think that, you know, it was an interesting article in the MIT Tech Review that appeared yesterday about podcasting.
Oh, really?
And, yeah, and here's what they said. This was the soundbite that I thought, and I quoted it. It's on link two on yesterday's scripting news, and it said, "Podcasting shows once again how a commercial technology invented for a specific purpose, in this case the digital music player, when reached its pinnacle in the Apple iPod, can be creatively repurposed to more democratic ends by independent software developers using open technologies like RSS and XML." And I thought they captured it really well. They captured, I mean, that one statement sort of, it doesn't define what podcasting is at a technical level, but it certainly does explain what podcasting is, what the intent of podcasting is, and then how the technologies were, you know, combined in sort of an unobvious way. It would have been a good place for them to say it was done by Dave Weiner and Adam Curry. they could have really straightened things out and said, you know, these are the people that actually did what we just talked about. And that's what happened. I mean, the first meeting we had about this was in New York City, the end of the year 2000. And I had met Adam many times before in different circumstances, and we both happened to be in New York at the same time, and we got together to sort of just, you know, talk about software. He was a user of Frontier and Manila and, you know, basically everything that we were producing at Userland he was using. And you know, he had an idea for how to use, you know, large media objects on the internet. My opinion was that, forget it, you know, they're sort of like, the internet isn't ready for that yet. You know, every experience that I had with downloading anything sort of big had been a pretty negative experience. And especially video. He was focused on video at the time. Well, I just got that echo. Are you there?
Yes.
Okay. Are you actually, you are recording this, right?
I am recording.
Okay, good. All right. So that's why I'm going a little slowly, because it's sort of like I want to, you know, I mean, you know, I'm assuming that, you know, people are listening. And I, you know, if this actually works, I will certainly point to it, because I want to sort of get these ideas out there. So, I was really resistant to the idea. And I think that resistance is sort of, it's important, because I think a lot of other people had that resistance, and maybe even to this day, some of them still do. But because every time I had, you know, gotten video on the internet, it always meant, you know, a click and then a wait, and the wait usually was longer than the video would take to play. And that's an important ratio, by the way. So, like, how long are you going to wait for this thing, and then what actually shows up when it arrives? And then it'll be the small little scratchy postage stamp sized thing, and, you know, forget it. It just isn't worth it. But Adam's, and it's a, was a brilliant idea. Adam's idea was is that look at your line, your internet connection differently, and think about all the time that you aren't using that line. And then multiply that, you know, so take the bit rate of your line and multiply it by the number of hours per day that absolutely nothing is going over that line. And think about, now, what could you push down that line, right? And once I understood that's what he was saying, and, you know, he's not a programmer, so he doesn't, like, you know, he doesn't make his points that way, you know. A programmer would say, you know, there's some math in here. Let's point David the math. Be getting a call, actually. Hold on, let me see. No? Are you there?
Yep.
Okay. So, oh, that's weird.
That one happened that again. That one was me. That was office telling me I've got some thing I got to do.
Do you have to go?
Nope.
Okay. So my line isn't doing anything. And so the question then is, then all kinds of questions come up. It's like, all right, well, you know, that means that I have to subscribe to things and I have to turn over to other people the decisions about what's actually going to show up on my computer. And, but, you know, that's not such a bad thing. I mean, I do that for, like, watching news. CNN is like that, you know, the various news networks. I'm a fan of the West Wing. You know, basically, that's not a, you know, that's not, like, a new idea, really, that, you know, you would subscribe to something. I forgot where I was.
The whole idea of the subscribing to get things slowly and...
Yeah, no. Then, of course, I was working on RSS, and subscribing is something that RSS does. And so it was, you know, the next step was to, you know, come up with a format for doing this and then to start evangelizing it. You know, basically say, okay, you know, because then there are three sides to there, you know, once you have the format, then the question is, you know, what software do you have that creates that format? What software do you have that reads it? And then what? And then, you know, where's the content? Those are the three things that you then need to look for before you get to critical mass. And as it turns out, we wouldn't get to critical mass until this summer, so 4 years later. But we had the software. And almost immediately I, you know, modified what eventually became Radio User Land to be able to do in its aggregator, to be able to get enclosures off of RSS items, and then taught radio how to add enclosures to items. So we had both sides of the enclosure, you know, technology solved. And then we waited a while before there was content. And it came in little dribbles and drabs, nothing enough to sort of like justify any, like, you know, I mean, it wasn't interesting until there was content. In the fall or sometime in 2003, actually it was the spring of, yeah, summer, spring, somewhere in there, I can find out the exact date. I started working with Chris Lydon, who I went, became a research fellow at Berkman Center for the Internet and Society at Harvard Law School, and one of my colleagues there was Chris Lydon, who was an NPR on-air personality.
Was he still with, was it BRU? Or?
No, BUR. He's not.
Right. I used to live up there. I used to listen to him all the time.
Yeah, he was pretty, and he's a very talented interviewer and very passionate about radio. And so we were covering the election, and he was learning about blogs, and the way he learned about blogs was doing interviews with leading bloggers, and created quite a library of interviews, and we made that into an RSS 2.0 feed with enclosures, and put that out there. And actually, it turns out I'm here. Adam Curry is also here in Miami. You know, 1 week, just sort of, you know, more brainstorming and you know, planning and thinking. It's sort of like a think week in a way. And
calling Madge.
Yeah, well, Madge is something else. Yeah, everybody loves Madge. Yeah. I don't know if you've listened to the.
Oh yeah.
Well,
oh yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I haven't heard the call yet. I'm about a day behind in my source code, and.
Me too. I'm 2 days behind. I just caught up with the one from Tuesday where I don't even think we want to mention what that song was about. The Marlene Dietrich song. It was really something else.
I always listen to those things on the bus ride home, so I'm always giggling to myself and people look at me funny.
I listened to this one in a Cuban bodega here in Miami, and I don't think if they knew what I was laughing at, I think they would have killed me. But they didn't know, and I'm not about to tell them, and I'm not telling these people who are listening either.
That's right.
I'll probably run this as a morning coffee notes sort of special.
Oh, cool.
Or whatever. Yeah. So anyway, where was I? Chris Lydon. So yeah, so we did that, and it just turns out Adam was trying to get people to write scripts that would parse this for him and put the stuff directly on the iPod. Okay, now that's something that I didn't do, all right? I thought it was good enough to get the stuff onto your hard drive, but Adam went the next step, and he said, I have to actually get the software to take it off the internet and put it right onto the iPod. And so he asked a bunch of programmers at BloggerCon in October of 2003. That was the first BloggerCon. He asked a bunch of people, programmers, to do it for him, and basically these guys, you know, basically said, sure, yeah, we'll do it, but they never did it. And so come summertime, and then, okay, so then what happened was I finally found software that I could use to record voice. It's something I had been looking for years, and I finally got fed up. I kept asking people, you know, what software should I get, you know, to do this, and you know, people would point me to various different things, and I would try them out, and they would be the wrong thing. They didn't, like, you know, listen to what I was looking for. Nobody, you know, came up with a recommendation. So I finally decided to, you know, put the time in. I went to CNET. I did a search on download.com, and I just went through everything they had that remotely seemed like it could do recordings, and most of them didn't work, or at least didn't work for me. And then I, you know, found this thing called Polderbits, which is a lot of these guys put a lot of effort into making these things look really sexy and colorful and weird shaped windows and all the rest of that stuff. But the damn software doesn't work, you know. This thing looks really plain Jane, you know, like, you know, you look at it and go, well, geez, that's boring. But, you know, I like that because it tells me where their priorities were. Their priorities were to solve the damn problem, and they did. The software works, and I think it was like in June. I can find the exact date if you want. But sometime in June last year, I did my first what I called audio blog post. And the thing that drove Adam there was that I made that an enclosure on my XML feed for RSS feed for scripting news. So, and then I did another one and another, and I went and I started going, like, really getting going crazy with this stuff. It was fun. I was having a great time, and I went to the Democratic National Convention and did, you know, these audio blog posts from there, and all of them were in the RSS 2.0 feed with enclosures for my site. And Adam decided, see, what was really interesting about this is that Adam is a radio professional, and I'm a software professional. And by this point in time, my major contribution to this was the radio side of it, and his major contribution to it was the software side of it. And it was beautiful because the thing is that, you know, why that worked so nicely, and we didn't premeditate it and say, well, geez, let's try it this way because we think that'll work. It's just because, you know, he could get fed up and break the rules of software, and I could get fed up and break the rules of radio because I don't even know what the damn rules are, you know? And same thing with Adam and the rules of software, you know? I look at Adam's code and I go, you know, Adam, you can't do that. That doesn't actually work, you know? But the fact is it did work, and it's admirable. So then he started doing the daily source code a couple of months later, as I guess it was inevitable. Once the ball was rolling, the key thing was to do it regularly. I don't know why Chris is... Maybe it took two people to do it. Maybe it had to be both Adam and me. And then quickly, Dave Slusher came on board. He was doing the Evil Genius Chronicles. And, you know, it seemed like every couple of days there would be a new thing. And somebody came up with the idea that this should be called podcasting. And, you know, and then the press articles started coming. And it started snowballing. Today there are like 2,000 channels, and it's grown at a remarkable pace.
What do you attribute that rapid growth to? It just seems so strange that this went so fast.
Well, a couple of things. First of all, it's a bootstrap. So what we had already a great network for communicating, you know, the weblogs. So our enthusiasm immediately translated into a lot of blog posts, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, people could tell that we were excited about this. And so they checked it out and then, hey, wow, this is really interesting. So they started posting about it. And, you know, a lot of people are reading blogs. So, you know, it couldn't have happened 4 years ago because there weren't enough people reading our blogs that's one way of looking at it. Another thing is that there really hasn't been a whole lot of innovation in software, you know, in the last like 3 years. I mean, blogging software really hasn't improved in any measurable way in the last 3 years. So you're looking at a community that's like kind of hungry for some new ideas. And, you know, that's part of it. Another part of it is that the pipes have built out. More people have broadband. And more people, of course, have iPods, right? And yeah. iPods, you know, iPods are begging for this. You know, I mean, if you listen to Apple's marketing for it, they're talking about is that, hey, it's great for music and maybe audiobooks, but they're not thinking about people creating their own content and sharing it with other people. And you know, when they don't get that or they miss that, they're missing one of the fundamental. I mean, if you were to like sort of write down the laws of physics of personal computers and the internet, that's one of the rules is that, you know, the thing that's going on here is that the people are creating content. That's where the action is. It's not the pros as much as it is the people. So it's like word processing programs were big. We didn't hire pros to write our memos for us. We wrote our own memos. We didn't need their help to do that. We didn't like hire, you know, professionals to write, you know, to do our spreadsheets. We did our own spreadsheets. You know, that it's a do-it-yourself sort of culture. So there was a sort of a backlog of creative opportunity there, and people had the necessary hardware, both in terms of the net connection and in terms of the player device, the iPod. Now where we're at is like we're starting to hit the walls, you know, the limits of these of the platform. And now, you know, that's why we're having this meeting here, is to think, okay, well, what's the next step? I mean, you know, because the iPod is not the perfect, you know, medium, you know, listening device for this stuff. And the tools for creating podcasts are practically non-existent. And so how much more growth can there be unless both of those problems are addressed? And so that's what we're thinking about now.
As a side, one of the things that I've been looking at completely independently of podcasting is a XML standard called DAISY, which was designed for blind people, actually. It's designed to be a way to hierarchically navigate through an audiobook originally. The idea is that you use a telephone keypad as the interface, and you do 4 and 6 for backward and forward, and 2 and 8 as up and down through the outline, the hierarchy of the book. And I keep thinking, God, that'd be perfect for podcasting if only you could develop for the iPod and add that functionality to it.
But yeah, yeah, that would be interesting. That you know, hey, it probably wouldn't surprise you that we've thought of the idea of putting outlines on iPods.
Oh, hey, I mean, yeah. I mean, I know you. I mean, I've heard your the IT conversations you did with Doug Kay and you know, your whole background in outlining. We actually met at an expo, Macworld Expo, back in the
yeah, I remember that
early mid '90s, I think.
Yeah,
right before I left Dartmouth,
I was a smoker at that time, and we were outside, and I was smoking cigarettes.
Yes, yeah.
We talked, yeah.
God, you really do remember.
Well, because you told me not to smoke. I think after the fact you said, don't smoke. Well, you know, I stopped. So you got your wish.
I should have.
I feel the same way. I hate cigarette smoke now. I can't stand
it. Well, I grew up in a family of smokers, so I've always been having a real hard time with it. Where was I going with that?
The format called DAISY.
Just that it begs for it. It's so perfect for podcasting. I keep thinking, God, there's such a great wedding of the two. And anyway, I'll send you a link to the site.
Yeah,
it's a .org, DAISY.org, and it's a neat standard. Any rate, so I know you guys are in the middle of a think tank this week trying to answer some of these questions, but where do you see all this going?
Yeah, that's kind of, I want to reserve that right now.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not sure. I know we're sort of like a lot of thinking. We're doing a lot of thinking, and I think that's where, you know, that's where it's going. Let's do some thinking now and figure out.
So people can listen to the source code and the morning coffee notes for the next few weeks and get pieces of it.
And we're going to try to slow it down a little bit because, you know, it's been really, there's been a lot of enthusiasm. It's been kind of breathless, and now it's sort of like, we want to like take some like deliberate steps and not just be speculating and actually like let's do some things to make it better. So, you know, I'm not sure you'll hear much about it in the next couple of weeks, but soon, yeah, as soon as possible, right?
Great.
Yeah.
Well, thanks very much for your time. This has been great
cool.
for me.
Well, you know, and if there's you need some more, we want to talk some more, we can do that, of course.
Okay.
So, and I look forward to getting an MP3 on this, right?
I will probably tonight or over the weekend.
Cool.
All right. Take care.
All right, thanks, Andy. Bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.